Anita and I went shopping for a car. And if you know me at all, you know that I hate shopping. I mean, being married is just one of the... Anita does almost all the shopping for the family. It's just... thank you, honey. Anyway, so we went shopping for a car. And showed up at a used car lot and kind of had some idea of what we were looking for. And we saw a car that might be of some interest. And so we took it for a test drive. And as we're driving around with the salesperson asked what I did for a living. And I said, you know, I was a youth pastor because I was. And immediately he went, oh, it's good to see a fellow believer. The Lord must have led you to me and me to you because the Lord wants you to buy this car. And the Lord knows I've got a great sale for this car today and that if you buy it now, and my creepometer was just going, like many of ladies you've experienced, you know, you show up at the church camp or like, you know, one of the young adult singles groups, and there's going to be some creepy guy that comes up and says, the Lord told me that we're supposed to date. And you're like, he didn't tell me. Woo! Creepometer, right? So because for me and probably for all of us here, we've got something in us that's kind of, you can call it an authenticity detector. Now, you could maybe call it by other names, but let's just call it an authenticity detector. And really for everybody, we have try to have some just some sense of, you know, is the person I'm talking to, are they real? Is the faith that they profess, is it sincere or not? And now the truth is, I don't know the heart of that salesperson. I don't. Might have been absolutely sincere and just happened that day to be socially inept. I mean, because the Lord only knows. Only the Lord knows. We got out of there as fast as we could, but I don't know. Only God knows. But we go with what we know as we're looking at the people around us and going, okay, is this thing for real? And today as we look at, we've been doing a 4-week series through the book of Acts on the topic of contagious. Why was it that the early church was so contagious? The faith just spread and spread and spread, and this small group of believers ended up changing all of Western civilization. I mean, we mark the year because of the message that this group of people spread. And the gospel, as we talked about last week, in some parts of the world is spreading at unprecedented rates. There are places where the gospel and the message of Jesus is just very, very contagious. What are some of the factors that go into that? Last week we looked at prayer, how, you know, in the early church they were praying big, bold prayers, and I challenge you to be praying big prayers and sharing them with each other. That they weren't just protectionary prayers. Oh God, just watch over us and protect us and keep us safe. All the stuff that's good to pray, and we pray all the time, but they also prayed big prayers. Lord, enable your servants to speak your word with boldness, they prayed. Well, today we're going to look at a passage just a little bit later in there, and it involves something that, you know, we often kind of overlook, but it ends up being, as we'll learn in this passage, such a powerful factor in whether or not people hear the message that we're trying to share. So we're in Acts chapter 6, and we're just going to read through the first 7 verses, okay? So Acts chapter 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained that the Hebraic Jews, against the Hebraic Jews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So we've got two problems going on in the early church. There are widows. So nowadays we might think of them, well, both as widows or single moms, but people that didn't have their own means of supporting their family. And, you know, God's word clearly teaches we're supposed to meet the needs of, you know, people in those kind of situations. So there was an issue of widows needed food, but there was a second issue. There was some kind of cultural discrimination going on. There's two primary groups of Jews living in Jerusalem. You have the Hebraic Jews, those that would be speaking Hebrew or Aramaic, and you have the Hellenistic Jews, those that would have been more enculturated with Greek. So they would be speaking Greek. They would be dressing in more Greek ways. They would have Greek names. They'd name their kids Greek names, that kind of stuff. So there was a language barrier, and there was a cultural barrier, and it was dividing the believers in the city. Can you imagine that? Says he. Okay, so this is the problem. So that's the problem. So we're recognizing that. Verse 1, let's keep reading. So the 12, so the apostles, they gathered all the disciples together, and they said this: it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Because, you know, sometimes when the people that are in charge do all the work, it doesn't actually go very well. God gives gifts to his body, all sorts of different gifts. Some people have upfront gifts. Some people have behind-the-scenes gifts. Some people have communication gifts. Some people have administration gifts. Some people have teaching gifts. Some people have helping gifts. We need everybody. We need everybody. And so this is what the church started to apply. So get to verse 5. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and also Philip, Procurius. That sounds like a Greek name, doesn't it? So people from both cultures, not just the Hebraic culture, but also the Hellenized culture. Procurius. Nicanor, let's say that's the name, okay? Timon. Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism, so a person that wasn't even Jewish. So very racially diverse group. They presented them to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So they said, yeah, we're giving you the authority to do this ministry. Go get them. And then what's the first word in verse 7? So they did this. There's widows that are in need. There's a cultural divide. There's some people that are capable and willing. We commission them for ministry. They get sent out, and this results. So, what happens? The word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased. How? Rapidly. And a large number of who? Priests. Became obedient to the faith. So the people that understood the faith the most, they looked at this group that, I mean, they would have been skeptical. You know, what's this little offshoot, these people that follow Jesus? All these people, you know, the priests, the people that have been schooled in what God's word teaches, and they see something, and they go, wow, I got to pay attention to this. And the word of God spread rapidly. Notice that it wasn't the result in that moment of preaching. There had been plenty of preaching. What was it the result of? What were people doing? Praying, and what were they doing? And serving. They were serving the needs of widows, and they were addressing the cultural divide in their community. Because sometimes, you know, those little acts, the little acts of, you know, helping out at the food bank, doesn't really seem like much, does it? You know, even as I was preparing today, here's my fear. Okay, here's my fear with this message. What Pastor Andrew talk about today? He talked about how it's important that Christians serve. Oh, yeah, that's great. I've heard that before. That's the danger. You've heard this before. And, you know, you kind of thinking through, I was sort of tempted to come up with, you know, what's a story in my life of a time when somebody really served and people were immediately like, yeah, I totally believe in Jesus now. Great big dramatic story, you know, it's all weepy and wonderful. But the thing is, this was just a teeny little act. This was just daily obedience. Here's a need. And they go and meet it. Here's a problem, and they go address it. I mean, nobody hands out medals. There's no big dramatic story. But what happens to the word of God? It spreads rapidly. Because you know what? You've got an authenticity detector. beep, 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 beep. You're kind of looking around. Are the people around me, are they real? Do they really care? Guess what everybody else has too? Everybody has an authenticity detector. And they're just looking for something real. I was kind of thinking about that this week. And maybe run it through your own mind. I mean, there's people that you've met that you went, wow, you know, their faith really seems authentic. What is it about them that makes them seem so, I mean, how do you know? I've been kind of rattling that around in my mind this week. And here's what I've come up with, and see what you think. You know, the people that I've met that know that, they go, wow, their faith really seems real. There is a generosity of spirit about them. Whether that's the salesperson that they actually seem interested in helping you find the right item at the best possible price. And so they, you know, they might even send you down the street if they don't have the thing that you need. And if that person says, hey, I'm a believer, I'm going to be really inclined to believe them. I think of friends I know that are in the business world, and you know, I think of especially of a fruit broker I know, where you know, small farms struggle all the time, and he would go out of his way to make certain that the small farms would get a, you know, the most generous price the market could bear on their fruit, even if it meant him taking a loss, so that that business could, that farm could make it. And amazingly enough, you know, that generosity of spirit, God has blessed my friend mightily. I mean, his business is very, very prosperous, but he's enormously, abundantly generous. The person that's generous with their time, and they just say, hey, I was thinking about you. Send a little Facebook note, a little text, a card. The person that sees somebody on the side of the road in trouble, and they just pull over and say, can I do anything for you? There's a generosity of spirit. But maybe, I mean, test it. Maybe just because I say it doesn't mean it's right. For in your own life, think about the people around you, the believers especially around you, that you go, you know, they're just the real deal. How did you know? How did you know? And if something comes to mind, take just a moment and tell the person next to you the attribute that you saw in that person that you went, you know, I really think they were for real. So take just a minute and tell the person close by if you're thinking of something. Because, you know, for the folks that serve in our food bank, they probably don't think it's a big deal. They're just there to help. So they come and they stack cans and get boxes ready for distribution, or people that come to just hang out in the ministry center and give them away. Or we've got a Care Meals ministry, and if there's a need in the congregation that... usually my wife Anita or sometimes somebody else will send out a little note, and it goes around, and hey, this person, they just had a baby, they're just home from the hospital, or they're going whatever, and they need a meal. And many of you do something about it. It's not a big dramatic story, but it's people that are willing to be inconvenienced. They go, you know, I'm busy. Of course everybody's busy, but I can take some time to help somebody else. Whether that's on an ongoing basis or that's just as you see the need. You're available. You're willing to be inconvenienced. And I believe that as we hear this word today, even though, I mean, this might seem like, oh yeah, I've heard that before, because you have heard that before. We talk about service a whole lot in our church. It's like a third of our mission statement. But I think it's appropriate for each of us to think and even ask the question, am I available? When was the last time you were inconvenienced for somebody? And would you be willing to pray a prayer like that? Lord, I'm willing to be inconvenienced. Interrupt my day. And as we look at this passage, like us to even just allow the Lord to speak to us. Is he laying somebody on your heart that you need to call? Is there a ministry you'd like to serve in? Whether that's, you know, ministry in the church or in the community. I mean, there's so many ways to serve. And, you know, our aim for you isn't necessarily to get you all wrapped up into church world and have to, I mean, you know, there's a lot of ways to serve within the context of our church. But what we're really looking for is a church that is loving each other so well and loving our community so well that people see that Jesus is real in our midst. There's going to be a variety of ways. It might be you serve in the nursery. That's a tough gig sometimes. Or in children's church. It doesn't often feel like people say thank you, and frankly, most of the days it doesn't feel like a ginormous spiritual breakthrough. But here's the thing. When an individual has that generosity of spirit and there's an authenticity of faith, people take notice because everybody's got their authenticity detectors on. Everybody's just looking, hoping that they will see something that's real. I mean, and maybe even if you're here today and you're not a believer, you're just kind of here. We love you. We are so glad you're here. And you're just kind of looking and trying to see, is there anything to this church thing? I bet you that's what you're looking for. Do these people really care or not? Are they just kind of going through the motions? It is no great feat to be a religious consumer. It is no amazing, you know, moral leap to, just like you go to the movie theater and you go to the movies you like and you don't go to the movies you don't like. You go to the stores or the restaurants that you like, you don't go to the restaurants you don't like. It's no great leap to be a religious consumer. You're just another selfish person only with the Jesus sticker on your car. But the people around us are watching to see. I mean, do they really care? Do they just want to look good? Or do they really care about me? And the people that do, those that take that leap, say, I'm going to be there for the widows. I'm going to be there for the people that are in need. They change neighborhoods. They change families. And when a whole group of it happens, it changes the world. Don't miss that. I'd like us to pray. And if the Holy Spirit lays somebody on your heart or lays something on your heart that he might be calling you today, I urge you to write it down somewhere, maybe on the back of your bulletin, inside your hand, somewhere where you won't forget. And do something about it. Lord, I'm willing to be inconvenienced. Interrupt my plans and make me available to love the people around me, no matter how small, because it all makes a difference. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for stories like this, of just little acts of kindness and churches that just try to do the right thing. Thank you that our faith moves forward not just with the big heroic acts and, you know, big speeches, but of the day-to-day kindness of people that are simply living it out. They're inviting people into their homes. They're helping the stranger in distress. They're feeding the person that needs food. They're putting shoes on kids. And Lord, I thank you for the examples around this congregation. Lawns that get mowed. Trailers that get towed. Children that have their noses wiped. Meals that are given. People that show up in hospital rooms, that send Facebook notes and texts and emails and cards, and they just are available to the people around them. Lord, I pray that spirit would be contagious in our midst, because that kind of kindness, it's contagious. So Lord, please speak to your children even right now as we pause before you. And if you lay somebody on our heart, Lord, help us to do something about it. And if that's the prayer that you're praying today, let's just pray together those words. Lord, I am willing to be inconvenienced. Amen.